Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty here on a Thursday morning. Excited to talk to you for the next hour or so. We got a couple guests too, man. Boss Rudin and Mohamed Mokaev, UFC flyaway, both will join us here on today's program. And of course, we'll talk about some of the latest news. Not much to really look forward to this weekend, unless you're a Cage Warriors fan like I am. They do have back-to-back shows this week. Those guys used to be family back in the day, much like Invicta. In the last few months, their fights would appear on our website. So I've always held a little soft spot for them. That's why Goz and I got to meet Conor McGregor before he even became the UFC superstar that he was. He was actually a two-time champ over at Cage Warriors, or two-division champ. There you go. A two-division champ at Cage Warriors. Same thing, featherweight and lightweight. Anyhow, we'll get started here. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Thursday, and today's May 26th. All right, so Goes, you know, you and I purposely said, let's wait a little bit because it's been a little slow on the news cycle side. I mean, yeah, you got a little bit of the stuff happening from the reality show, I suppose. Still a little bit of a hangover last weekend. You and I all day, all week, we've still been talking about, you know, the reactions to Vieira and Holm. Anders and Park, Ponzinibbio versus Pajeda. And rightfully so, man. It was a lot of split decisions, a lot of close decisions. The judges definitely have been in the spotlight. I mean, even if you go back, there's a hangover from Rose Namajunas and Carla Esparza. Get over it, folks, because let me tell you, since then, Esparza's already gotten married and she's in Bora Bora. Life moves on. And this is the only thing I can say, Goes, is fighters, it's on you. Said this for 10 years, maybe 15 now. I'm going to repeat it because there's always new fans. There's always new fighters. The onus is on you to get that 10 and make sure the other guy or gal gets the 9. The judges are still the same names. Who do you hear, Goes? Cleary, Comijo, D'Amato, McCarthy, you know, there's others. And it, you know, it's usually the same judges, and guess what? They are the best judges. They're not idiots, man. We'll talk about Cruz and Mazzulli here in just a second. But what are your thoughts, man? Have you had a chance to think about it? You know, everybody's got their little, let's try open scoring. Let's get 5 judges. Let's get new judges. Let's redo the criteria. You know, like some of that's not even realistic.
I actually think having fighters be judges would be even more of a nightmare. I really do. I don't think the system is that bad the way we have it right now, but I do just think there needs to be a little bit more accountability. They get it right for the most part, but a lot of times they don't. And that part is a little bit difficult. And I feel like when that does happen, it has to be, you got to either not suspend, but like put that judge off to the side for a little bit, figure out why they went the way they did, and then they have to work their way back up into that position. I think they should have a bigger pool of judges. And I just think the more, just a little bit of a point system, you know, the more you get it right, the more you stay at the top. And when you have these mess ups, you got to go back down a little bit. Maybe you don't get championship fights or main card fights until you can prove that you for the most part can get it right. But I mean, I get it. Yeah, fighters do need to do the most they can to win a round, but sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. You know, sometimes two fighters will beat the crap out of each other and put on an exciting round, but a judge might still give them the wrong score. So I understand why that can be frustrating, but I don't know that the whole system needs to be shaken up. I don't agree with open scoring. So yeah, I just think a couple tweaks here and there.
I do remember hearing one decent application towards open scoring, but I still need to see how it applies on the gambling world. And that is in three round fights. So that would be non-title, 3 rounds, 5 minutes each. So in those fights, after the first round, you announce the score, and then after that, it's a secret. That's interesting. It made me hang my mouth open like I just did right now. Like, what? You know, like I had to think about it right away. I want to poke holes in it. What could come of that? Really not too much harm other than we know where we stand. You know, like if you go back to the stool, one coach is probably thinking, okay, we just got to get win one of the next two and we got a W, baby. You know, it means they want their fighter to win. And they also want their fighter to go home with two checks. But there will still be mystery if the next round is close, because you could be 1-1 if you're the winning fighter of the first round, or you could be up 2-0, you know, and 2-0 definitely is yet another type of a strategy, a little bit more of a cruise control, more defense, I imagine. And let's say you're on the losing side of that 1-0. Well, then now you know you got to win the next two. But if the second one was close, you come back between rounds 2 and 3, and your coach is probably telling you, bro, you might be down 0-2. Get out there and finish this guy, for crying out loud. Now you got to actually spinning back fist from time to time. Maybe start off by running at him like a Masvidal, you know, trying a knee. Like, you really, really got to come out of your box a little and start to unload. We would equate that to, if you're down 15 in the fourth quarter of a basketball game, you're probably putting in three-point shooters, you know, and maybe taking somebody, one of the big guys out. In football, you're probably telling the running back, you're not going to get many carries because we're down 3 touchdowns, more no huddle, you know, more passing, and maybe even an onside kick. So I would hope that's what they would do. In title fights, if you're curious, you'd get to know the scores in rounds 1 and 2, but then after that, it's a secret again. Why do I keep using the secret? Because I think one of the advantages of not knowing the winner at the end is there really is something precious about when Buffer, Williams, Garcia, Martinez, Justin Bernard, whoever gets that opportunity to get out there and be an MC, you know, and be the ring announcer, when you basically are the only one that knows the answer, unless Dana White's over your shoulder, and you get to, you know, announce it. Man, there's something about that pause, you know, like wondering who won. I would still like to preserve that, because I'm not ready for open scoring, and that's just like a little bit of a cherry on the sundae for me.
Yeah, I mean, that all sounds good on paper, open scoring, but I think when you really break it down, there's more issues that can arise, and you're right. There is a little bit of suspense that gets taken away, and that's the fun part.
What did you think about in a non-title fight after round one knowing the score, and in a title fight after rounds 1 and 2 knowing the score? What did you think of it, at least kind of cutting it in half? Or
that's not bad. I don't see how that could be too bad, but I also don't know that it solves what's going on too.
Mm-hmm.
They could still get it wrong in rounds 1 and 2, right?
I had heard a long time ago, only tell them if it's 1-1 and if it's 2-2, but don't tell them if it's 2-0 or 3-1 or 4-0, I guess. And mm-hmm. I was thinking, well,
you're still kind of telling them by not telling them, right?
You are in a way. I think it would affect more. I think you would know if you're down 3-1 or 4-0. But then again, dude, Andre Pardenares thought his fighter was down 3-1 Vieira, unless he thought maybe that's the way I can get through her is by yelling at her, because he was losing his mind on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, like I said, everything has a little bit of a caveat that would kind of screw you over. So I don't know. Round one, round two, I don't think is a killer, but anything more than that would be too much. Mm-hmm. Even that round two might be too much.
The ABC, the Association of Boxing Commission, they are having a big conference July 22nd, 23rd, 24th. It's like 5 days. But the first two are weekend days, Saturday and Sunday, and they're encouraging fighters or, what was it, fighters and coaches, fighters and media? No, I think media gets the time. Broadcasters, right, to go there and for free, actually. I wanted to ask the guy, can media go for free too? I mean, I don't know if that goes that far. But I did look into fights. Something's going on that weekend. Maybe it's that. But one way was $400 to Rochester or Buffalo because it's going to be held in Niagara Falls. Just one way. And but, you know, like, who knows if USA Today would support that, if they would want us to do that. But it was tempting. I looked at it just because I'm curious. No, now, what comes with it goes, though, is you would be, I guess, certified to judge or ref, because it's refing and judging. But I'm not really going there for the certification. I'm just going there for more knowledge.
Yeah, knowledge is always important. Like, just the other day, we had Big John McCarthy on the show, and just him going through 10-10 rounds again, explaining that. That's knowledge.
Exactly. So let's pivot over to what Dominic Cruz said. Actually, I guess our first guest is ready to go. Who do we have, right? I just got
Boss Rudin.
All right. Yeah, he's ready to go. So let's talk to Boss Rudin, then we'll come back. We'll start with Dominic Cruz, because that cat had some interesting things to say the other day. And I still feel like some of them just were, he was a little bit off, and Mike Mazzulli checked his ass. All right. Boss Rudin, also a legend of the game. Let's talk some karate combat. What is going up, Junkie Nation? It's Gorgeous George and Goes. We're back with another superstar from the sport of mixed martial arts. Not only a superstar, a legend. And of course, he's a three-time King of Pancrase and a former UFC champion and a Hall of Famer. He now is working with Karate Combat. Folks, season four has started. Event number two is coming up here on May 28th, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Go to karate.com to get your information, since we have a worldwide audience, on how you can watch, because it's very, very available all over the world. Welcome back, boss. How are you?
Boom! Hushu! That's the karate greet that we're doing right there. We're doing great, brother. How are you guys doing?
Nice. I got a confession. I got a confession to make. I am late to the party on Karate Combat. Holy cow. So since John booked you, shout out to John, I've seen it. I've seen clips and things like that. But now, having watched the show, it's really cool, man. It's really cool. And I'm glad they're getting the word out even more. People need to see this. I was glued to the first event.
The rule set, the environment where the fighters fight in, the pit, you know, 45 degrees angles, which you can use, and which actually you see fighters. We saw a guy grabbing somebody, running up the hill, and then dropping him. You see, so now they really start to use the pit to their advantage. You push them in the corner, they just run out. They use it to make flying kicks, flying everything, takedowns. And oh, this is another great thing about karate combat. There is a takedown rule. You can take somebody down and they can rain down 5 seconds strikes. We've already seen people who get stopped that way. But if you fall against that wall, you're not considered down. So you can do anything. You can still punch, kick, but also you can get punched and kicked. So yeah, it's pretty exciting, brother.
You know, immediately from when you guys started this show, before Arus and Gasimov started, you could already tell just the production alone, just the arena there, and of course the pit that they call it, top notch. I mean, like, your eyes are instantly glued to it, so you want to wait. You want to see the introductions, the rules explanation. But I mean, it really, really class presentation. You know what I mean? And that, I got to start with that, man. That was something else.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, and in the past, we did this thing so that we can go in the future. We can go to space. We can go into the past. And, you know, and it's great. Like last season, we went Okinawa all the way back when Japan, or when karate got discovered and made, pretty much. So then going back and then do a little bit of a history lesson, you know, sure, it's fun and games, but there's also a little bit of history on how karate came to life. And those things I enjoy as well. And then, of course, together with GSP, we got Lyoto Machida, and we got the crazy Wonder Boy now as well on board. I just saw him hitting fruit on Instagram, Stephen, breaking fruit that they were throwing at him. The guy's crazy. But, I mean, that whole combination, it's a great show, man. It really is.
You know, as an MMA fan, on weeks where we get pulled in different directions, be it a big boxing match or a big kickboxing match or bare knuckle, whatever the big thing is at the moment, you know, part of it is we have other interests, you know, aside from MMA. And so I guess the key is to get pulled in by something. So, again, please pass that on to the creators of Karate Combat. They are doing a fantastic job. I love the pacing of it as well. And, you know, you're also not watching 20 fights, you know. So I think that's another thing that can be sometimes a little bit of a turnoff where you're like, oh, you know, like, who's who? How do I get to what match or whatever? Here you guys deliver. It seems like it's just like one right after the other. I like that.
It is, you know, and the fighters as well. We have Olympic-level karatekas who now are fighting full contact. And I always talk about this in interviews, you know, all the way back, like 4 years ago, we started this thing. They started this thing, and they brought me on board right away. And you saw these guys, like, from point karate, right? They would hit somebody, scream, and they would stop fighting, and then the other guy would keep going. And they realized, oh, crap, this is not point karate. This is real. So now they all started kickboxing, boxing. So they have fluent combinations. Also, the rule set, there's no knees, there's no elbows, and that makes sure that they just want the fighters to be further away from each other so people at home can really see the technique. And another great thing that comes with it is that if a kid at home tells, hey, mom, can I watch MMA? Can I watch bare knuckle boxing? Whatever it is, the kid's like 10 years of age, I don't think the parents are going to say yes. But if the kid says, hey, mom, can I watch karate tonight? I think they will say yes. And even more so, I think that the parents will sit in and watch it all together as a family adventure.
Yeah, that word karate alone just has great marketing for the whole family. So you are exactly right. Another thing I didn't witness at all was timidity. I mean, they go for it. You definitely don't want your back foot, it seems like, on the 45 angle, you know, on the wall or anything like that, because that's different from bouncing off of a rope in boxing or even a little bit of you know, having yourself against the cage. Some fighters like that. I don't like it when fighters have the back of the cage. But see, here you can tell they're trying to avoid it.
Oh, they have to. You know, you saw Ross Levine against Igor de Castaneda. That was last week. He dropped him. He fell against the wall. And then Ross Levine decides to wrap it up with a spinning head kick, spinning back kick to the head. And because he was not considered down, it was completely illegal. So he made this back kick, boom, hit with the jaw or with his heel, the jaw. And that's where they stopped the fight, you see. So things like that can happen because you're not considered down.
Yeah, I really, really like that. I also like you mentioned, when they engage, you can go for the takedown quickly, but if it's not there, the referee is there, the referee, the announcer's letting you know, it, you know, separate. So they made the rules clear, and they put it to use. Like, you know, there wasn't like much confusion is what I liked, and they're on top of it.
Yeah, and the respecting also, George. You see these guys, and some, they walk up to each other, and some of them get in their faces, you know? But then right after they did that, they both bow, they shake hands. I mean, the respect doesn't leave, you know, and that's a great thing to see as well. Oh, yes, they get angry. But then right away after that, they shake hands and they bow, osu, and then they go and have their fight. And most of the time, you know, as well as I do, after the fight, okay, now we know who's boss. Now everything's okay again.
Boss, so I want to talk a little bit about some crossover stuff. When we were kids, whatever was popular is what was happening on the playground, right? So on the playground, you're seeing people doing some pro wrestling, you know, if that's what was going on, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man in our time. When I say crossover, I say a show like Cobra Kai on Netflix, right?
Yep.
Kind of reinvigorated karate. That's what I did growing up was karate, and then that kind of went away, but now it seems like it's back. A show like that, does that even kind of increase a little bit the popularity of what you're doing?
Oh, it has to be, 100%. I'm kind of hoping that Cobra Kai sees it, that the writers see Karate Combat. I'm 100% guaranteed they know already, and that maybe, you know, we get a collaboration. That will be something, because let's face it, it's the only full contact karate league in the world. You know, if you don't consider Kyokushin is full contact, but it's not punches to the face, it's only to the chest, and kicks and everything, and knees are allowed to the head. And it's a whole different fighting style. We have Kyokushin fighters, but Kyokushin, it's always, I explain, it's like fighting in a phone booth. We have actually the champion, Edgar Scrivers. He's coming up to face Luis Hocha, and that's going to be this weekend. and you do not want to miss this fight. That guy, Edgar Skrivers, he's a Kyokushin guy. He only comes forward. I mean, he's those one speed and it's full speed and it's coming forward. And his interviews are hilarious. He has this Russian accent and he goes, I'm too strong. I make everybody mentally quit. I would just way too much pressure for everybody. You know, this is how he talks. No emotions, but it's hilarious what he's doing because he's a very funny guy. Now, Hoxha, he lost to him the first time, but Hoxha trains with the Pitbull Brothers. I've seen him spar at my gym with the Pitbull Brothers. And I go, dude, the guy is really good. And he has said that it was just an unfortunate event, but he will knock him out this time. And you want to see this fight. It's going to be a great fight.
You know, you have some connections in Hollywood, boss. Have you taken a step forward to maybe try and plant that idea in their head? Because you're right. Like, I mean, half of that show is about kids, but the other half is about adults. And they need something, too. Like, maybe they can kind of evolve. I think it's a great idea, boss.
What is a great idea as well is now it's with kids, but then they can broaden the horizon in the whole TV show as well. Then if a kid turns 18, well, he goes pro, he goes to karate combat. Hey, what else would that be? See, so I think it would be perfect working together. And yes, that will put a lot of eyeballs. Listen, I'm watching Cobra Kai. I never knew that the reboot would be so good. And I love it. You know, and everybody in my gym, every single person watches Cobra Kai. And we all binge it. You know, I saved the last episode, actually, for like 2 weeks ago because I didn't want to fly through it at one time. But yeah, collaboration, that would be the best.
Boss, two questions. Obviously, karate is worldwide. It just seems like you're going to have tons of people that are going to want to do this because every country practices this martial art. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about the expansion, you know, from different countries worldwide. And then my last question, you're watching Cobra Kai. In your soul, do you feel more Miyagi-Do or more Cobra Kai?
Ooh, I'm a more Miyagi-Do guy. Okay, the intensity in fighting, that is Cobra Kai in training. But once I'm in the fight, I believe relaxation beats everything. You know, if you fight a relaxed, same skills, one is aggressive, one is relaxed. The guy who's relaxed will win 9 out of 10 times. That's what I believe. The more relaxed you are, the faster your neurons fight and fire, and the rest everything works. So, yeah, I will be that. And then what was the other question you're talking about?
About worldwide expansion, you know, because there's so many fighters across the world.
That's the thing. I think we're going to have a whole bunch of shows. The first big show now is going to be a live show in Orlando. It's coming up. So that's going to be good, June 25th. This is the first time that people actually can buy a ticket, which is very hard to get in there. Before that, you were only chosen to be there. So this is the very first time. It's going to be at the Universal Studios, I believe, in Orlando, Florida. And the people who want an event, a ticket, go to karate.com and try to figure out how you can get a ticket. Because right now, it's not open completely, I believe, not to everybody. And it's going to be hard to find some tickets.
Boss, let me tell you something, man. Not to kiss your ass or anything, but your energy is missed in MMA. Just between catching up a little bit on karate combat and this interview, I can tell, man. Like, obviously, you've competed high level, but you're very, very good at analyzing the sport. So I can tell you right now, man. You're more missed than I thought.
Oh, thanks, George. I really it's always good to hear. You know, I'm so stoked now that I, you know, could leave. Stop with some other businesses like commentating business and fully go with karate combat because, you know, let's face it, like you already mentioned it, your goals already said it, there's so much talent. So I think this thing is going to grow really big and then we're going to need a lot of fighters and that means we're going to need a lot of shows. So I think I'm going to have my hands full and I'm freaking loving it because now it's in America. Before we had to go overseas. Now we can do it right here in Florida. I'm loving it.
Yeah. I had to restrain myself from laughing because one of the last things I asked you, you ended with the fact that you're right. There's a lot of intensity in the stare down. Then they come out and it has this feel like from the old movies that, you know, the martial art movies that we grew up with, like Thunderdome, whatever. But what I really liked was, you know, you explained that at the end there is a bow, but you threw in now we know who's boss. And I'm thinking that would be one of the best trash talks you could tell someone on the streets if you sorted them out and then you kindly told them now we know who's boss. Like, I have you ever done that? I mean, because obviously that's your name, but if it also works with boss, you know, like,
oh, that's the best. I used to have these things.
Now we know who's boss.
Who's the boss? I had a t-shirt. Who's the boss? You know, like, and me standing there. No, one of the best funny t-shirts I had was in the, and I can't find it anymore. I wish I had a copy. It was a drawing, a cartoon, and there's a person laying in the middle of the street, and his arm, one arm is here, the other arm is there, and his leg is hanging here. You're completely messed up. And there's a group of people around him in the middle of the street. They go, oh my God, what happened to him? And then one person says, I don't know, but it looks like he's been hit by a boss.
Oh, so man.
Yeah, it's so funny, though.
Someone's got to dig that up, man. eBay, someone's gonna have one, right? Or I don't know. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Holy cow! Now we know who's boss. Like, that's like the funniest thing I've heard all week, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna write that down, George.
Write it down. There's something there. I'm telling you, because it's you did it so respectful, but it's so meaningful. Like, I mean, if I just got knocked out, I wouldn't like it. But then somebody reminded me, like, well, now we know who's. Oh, my God. I'm like, all right, dude, all right. Like, stop it. Like, let me just get out of here with whatever dignity I have left, you know? Seriously, this thing jumps out. I'm telling you, I really, really liked it, you know? And, again, you brought the energy. And, I'm putting myself in the mind of a casual viewer that's changed in the channel, looking for something, because this weekend there's no UFC, so we were going to be jumping around looking for something to do, and right away you guys delivered, you know, and right away the action starts, boom, 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 the explanation of the rules. I love that as well. It wasn't hard to figure out what I was going to watch, and I got into it fast.
Love it, man. I love it. We have a great team. Josh Palmer, great. Layla Anna Lee is there. She's hosting the whole thing together with Josh Palmer being my sidekick, or I'm his sidekick, or whatever, you know. It's a great show, man. We're having a great time. I mean, the team that we have. I mean, we went through some teams, and then finally we sat on this team. And, you know, it's fun when you know as well as I do. It's not always super everything works together. You know, there's always one rotten apple here or this or that. And with this team, we're really having a great time, man. Everybody's blast. Everybody can throw in whatever they want. If we have scripts, you know, they say just follow the guidelines, but make it whatever you want to make it. So it's really easy and very nice to relax with people like that.
Yeah. So was that your idea to become a butcher and then a graduate and, you know, the intro last week? Because that was funny.
That's all them. It's all them. You know, yeah. I'm always the guy who gets everybody in trouble, of course. It somehow, you know, I'm always picked. Poor Josh. But it's fun. And, oh, yeah, of course. Robin Black. We have Robin Black as well. I mean, he's doing the breakdown, so let's not forget him. He's doing a phenomenal job as well. If there's a fight coming, and most of the time he sees the setup, what actually happened, and he will break it down right after the fight. So that's a fun thing to watch for the people as well.
Are you still watching MMA a lot?
Yes, I do. I do. I'm traveling a lot. I'm doing a lot of stuff right now. So most of the time I try to catch it up when I come home, at least that I watch the fights. I zap through it. But yes, of course, I still love watching MMA.
Did you happen to catch Paul Daly the other day? It was his final fight at Bellator. Man, he just dug to the body with a left.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden his right opened up and he cleaned the guy's clock out. It was really, really a nice combo, you know. But that guy, I think, was still reacting to the body shot because, as you know, it's a slight half-second delay. And then, boom, his chin was out there. But I was like, okay, Boss Rudin would have an appreciation for that body shot.
I saw the clips flying by on Instagram. So he's a freaking animal, man. As they were Melvin Manhoef also. I mean, delivering again. You know, these guys are such a powerful hitters. It's always a pleasure to watch.
Yeah, when somebody gets hurt, if they can get hit in the body before the finish, I'm telling you, a lot of things open up.
Yep.
Thank you, Boss, for the time, as always. We look forward to watching Season 4, Episode 2, coming up here on May 28th. Again, folks, go to karate.com, go to how to watch, and it'll tell you worldwide where you can connect. I know in North America, ESPN Deportes is your ticket. And, of course, check out their socials. Lots to offer there. Thank you, Boss. Have a nice day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, very welcome. And Ross Levine is going to face Shaheen Atamov, by the way, and that's going to be that show June 25th. That's going to be a really big fight. So Godspeed, guys. Thank you so much. And OSU, which OSU. comes from two words. Oshi, push. Shinobu means endure. To push and to endure. O-S-U. Osu. Godspeed.
Love it. Thank you. See ya.
Man, it pained me to tell Boss, hey, this thing you guys have had going on, I just haven't been tuning in. But once I started prepping for that interview, I'm ready. I'm ready for May 28th.
It pains me to know that he's Miyagi-Do. I thought he's Cobra Kai for sure, I thought. Now, I'm not saying he's Terry Silver or anything like that, but yeah. I think he'd get – he might be telling guys, hey, you're going a little too far, but I could see him in the corner kind of laughing his ass off when people are hitting that wood and them pipes.
Yeah, well, that and ending fights with Now We Know Who's Boss, that's a little bit of subtle trash talk there, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I don't think Daniel LaRusso would do that. Daniel LaRusso mm-hmm. would just bow, shake your hand, and say, hey, can we be friends? Can I buy you a popcorn? All right. So thank you to Boss Rudin. Shout out to John from Karate Combat for lining that one up. Dominic Cruz, he kind of was a little bit critical of MMA judges. And Mike Mazzulli from ABC actually responded to Cruz. So Cruz was on the MMA Hour, and he was kind of, I guess, implying that, I mean, what's the best way we can do it? Maybe I'll just quote him. The commission set up a meeting for us announcers on the scoring system. Well, who's setting up the meeting for the commissioners on what a takedown is? Who's setting up a meeting for the commissioner on choosing what a takedown is? They know is what he meant to say, what it feels like to get hit with a calf kick. Do they know? This is the quote, folks. Sometimes they just, you know, talk out of the ass, and we have to put it the way they said it. Compared to a high kick, I've had that feeling to know about 3 to 5 of those kicks before the muscle and the nerve pretty much shuts down. So he was questioning, I guess, you know, like the lack of experience. Mazzulli fires back and says, well, maybe you didn't know this about some of our judges, but they, you know, we didn't just grab them off the street. And he goes on to say, Sal D'Amato, black belt in karate. Derek Cleary, black belt in karate and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Eric Colon owns a jiu-jitsu gym. Dave Torelli owns Tiger Schulman's gym. Dave Peabody, a local judge, he's a black belt in karate. Dan Mergliata was a promoter and a Muay Thai fighter. Brian Miner was a kickboxer. And he says, in the future, I hope before the commentators speak, they do their research. What did you think of, not that exchange, because Cruz, I think, was just giving his opinion, but then Mazzulli fired back in defense of commissions, judges, refs.
Well, I think you have to do that, right? If you're a judge or referee, you want the head guy in charge to come have your back in those situations. Now, I did karate. I don't know that makes me understand what some of these certain techniques in mixed martial arts feel like. We all know what pain is like, but see, that's the thing. And that's why it gets confusing, especially with fighters, is like, even amongst them, they don't agree. You know, you get a takedown, a striker, like say MVP, might go, man, all he did was lift me up, put me on my ass. That's it.
And I got right back up.
Yeah. And a wrestler might go, bro, do you know what it takes to get a takedown like that? I basically picked you up like a little boy and put you on your ass. If that happened on the street, people would be going, ooh, you know, like, so even they look at things differently, you know, it just kind of depends. But I'm happy that I would be happy if I was a judge that he came and had my back and said the things he did. I mean, look, I kind of get what Dominic Cruz is saying, and I don't know that you're going to research every judge and every referee in the world before you make any type of statement. I think he just means MMA experience.
But, you know, Dominic Cruz is for sure a Hall of Famer. He's going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame one day, so we'll call him a future Hall of Famer. He is a legend of the lighter weight classes and one of the best broadcasters out there. In fact, I believe he's probably elevated a lot of other people's games because he always came in so prepared and knowledgeable. But that said, there are times where I feel like he loses a little bit of credibility because I think sometimes he just makes comments or doesn't say other things, you know, outside of even MMA that I find like silly. Like going back to remember when he checked DC on not being prepped and he did it all in public. Man, that's man code stuff. That's colleague stuff. That's a lot of stuff that you just don't air out in that way, because if you really felt that strong about it, you should have pulled him aside. You can't do all that and go, that's my bro, get out of here. So first of all, learn your way around that. Two, like you said, it goes, a lot of fighters, check them out, man. Check out Twitter, either Twitter Reacts on our website or just check out Twitter in general after these controversial decisions. There's a lot of people that are disagreeing with Dominic Cruz that have felt that calf kick, that have felt the takedown or whatever. And they're actually saying the opposite of what you're saying. They're just as split as judges, MMA media, and fans. So what would we say to them? Oh, you felt it, but you still don't know shit? I mean, you know, just because you've been in there, it definitely doesn't make you any more of an expert. It definitely is an advantage, but I've seen people that have been in there completely be way off their rocker when it comes to posting a score of a round, a score of a fight, or even having a take on the scoring system or whatever. In fact, there's a lot of fighters that I don't believe know what the rules or the scoring system are at times.
Oh, I mean, look at Yoel Romero. He didn't even know he was in a 5-round fight. I mean, it can get pretty insane. Dominic's right. Like, after 2-3 of them calf kicks, your leg starts to die. But guess what? I've also seen fighters take 12 of those and keep coming. So, I mean, it's just real difficult. Like, really what we're trying to accomplish is very, very difficult, and we're never going to have a right answer. All we have to do is try and get as close as we can to getting a right answer. That's it. But we're never going to get it right. If you're a fan and you're thinking that there's a situation that's going to arise that's going to solve this, you're wrong. That will never happen. We just want to mitigate the damage a little bit, the best we can.
But do you ever also get that feeling that every time he opens his mouth, he feels like scripture is being written?
Yeah.
He needs to stop that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit,
I don't think Mazzulli meant check out every single one of our judges before you. I just think he meant just before you open your mouth in general. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. And you know what? Even in that situation, if I'm Dominic Cruz, I think I just take that one on the chin, you know? Because honestly, I do feel like what he's saying is not that they don't have martial arts experience, that they don't have MMA experience. And you could sit there and you can argue that, and you might even be right. But really, in that situation, because you spoke your mouth the way you did, I think you just take that one on the chin.
Yeah. And another thing, too, announcers, one thing they're guilty of that I think MMA media and fans can sometimes step out and be 100% objective is their analysis of fights. You know what I mean? So this is tied into what you were saying about how some of them be judges in the future. You got it. You can do that. But you literally have to be a generation away. And a generation to me would probably be about 10 years where you didn't compete against them or whatever. And any sort of a link that ties you in, like if Matt Hughes, if his son, I don't even know if he has a son, but let's just say he does. If by now we find out he's fighting, you know, that makes sense, right? Hughes is probably in his 40s. He could have a son that's just finished college, is ready to fight MMA. You can't have Frank Trigg referee his fight. I don't care if it's amateur, his first fight, undercard, or whatever. You just can't have it. They met up 20 years ago. They were inducted together into the Hall of Fame, but he went 0-2 against them, regardless if they've had dinners since then or whatever. I just don't think you can ever have that. So you would have to pull yourself away with any connection from probably any remnants of the Hit Squad or Miletic or whatever, and just not do that. And that can be done. You know what I mean? Nobody's questioning Frank Trigg's credibility, but you just don't ever want that, you know, for there to be any I guess raised eyebrows or whatever. But
right,
you know, there have been a few, and I've been happy to see Vitor Ribeiro. Haven't seen him as much. Definitely have seen Frank Trigg out there. I believe Chris Lieben was doing some refereeing as well. And there may have been one other Brazilian back east. One of the coaches who's always with Mark Henry, Ricardo Almeida, was he a judge now or something like that? Yeah, right. Yeah. So that definitely can't be a bad thing. Herb Dean, to be fair, he fought. Mm-hmm. You know, he fought in MMA, but it was such a long time ago. But yeah, like, folks, quick lesson, man. I'm telling you, it's right now. It's unfortunately on the fighters to figure it out. The scoring system does need to be tweaked a little bit because we're using a boxing system of 10-9, and that's what they came up with. And guess what? Nothing's come up that's been better. 10-9 and a half, 10-9, 10-8 and a half may make a difference, but we can't even get them to write down 10-8. Maybe they're trying to tell us we want to write 10-8, but we don't. But at the same time, there's an 8.5 floating out there, maybe. But that's why they revised the rules in 2017 that said, hey, look, we got to look to write down some more 10-8s because all 10-9s weren't created equal. How the fuck is Rose and Carla round one a 10-9? And how the hell can you compare that to, you know, other rounds where there's a clear 10-9? Like, who's been taking people's back down? Aljamain Sterling against Peter Yan, round two. Remember, we thought it should be a 10-8? Well, that's a 10-9. Mm-hmm. But so's Carla and Rose. Come on.
Yeah. By the way, a lot of people don't know this, but Herb Dean actually fought Joe Riggs. I think he's had like five or six fights. Huh?
They're at heavyweight.
Yeah. So he has actually gotten in there.
And Riggs once fought for the title at did he make weight at 170, right? I don't think he made weight though for that fight against Hughes.
When he filled in for Caro?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So now that I think about it, anytime you say, you know, Anderson should have 11 title defenses instead of 10, but remember Travis Luter didn't make weight. So that wasn't a title defense, but he kicked his ass. That's not fair to Anderson. You know what I mean? He could be tied with Demetrius and John Jones, but they took that one away from him. Matt Hughes has 7 altogether. He had 2 in one reign and 5 in another, but technically could be saying, I should have had 8. And they made him fight Gracie at 179. He could be going, I should have 9. Wait, he fought Gracie at 175. Yeah, UFC 60, I think. Because Gracie goes, I ain't going to cut the last 5. Well, that could have been a title defense. He could arguably have 9. I'll look it up because it's time to talk to Mohamed Mokaev. He's joining us here on the program, UFC Flyweight. Let's get started with the Punisher. What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes are back here with another MMA superstar. This time we get to talk to undefeated flyweight Mohamed Mokaev, who signed a fight to face Charles Johnson at the UFC card coming up in London on July 23rd. Welcome, Mohamed, to MMA Junkie Radio. How you doing?
Thank you. Thank you. Everything's good. Just at the camp in Miami.
Okay. I was going to ask you, what gym is that? I can't tell.
American Top Team.
Well, I've never seen it from like I guess that angle of the roof or anything like that.
Yeah.
Cool. How long have you been there now?
Like 3 weeks now here.
Okay.
Amazing facility, good condition, good a lot of sparring partners.
Is that your home, or are you gonna try other gyms until you find your home?
No, I'm here now. I live here in the same place. We got like a dorms here, and like training in the morning, train at nighttime every day, just like gym life.
What did you like? What do you like about South Florida that made you want to make that your home gym?
Good weather, a lot of sparring partners, like UFC level. And when I was growing, I was watching a lot of like fighters training in places like this, and I really wanted to visit this place.
Who are some of your main sparring partners so far?
Pantoja is ranked number 3.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Kyoji Hariguchi.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, so you picked out the best ones.
Yeah, I've got like Cody Durden.
Yeah. Now, Hariguchi, I'm sure you can train with and exchange every secret. But how does it work with Pantoja? I'm sure there's
respect there. I'm sure there's a, maybe you guys are building a friendship, but when do you hold on to every single trick, knowing maybe down the road you might face each other?
No, I don't hold any tricks. Like what I can do, I'll do in the gym. You know, I don't have like, I keep the secret for the fight. It's okay. I know we will meet one day, like for the championship belt title, I think. But at the moment, we're just training. I competed a lot of in amateur, so I used to like train with amateur guys and then fight against them. It never affected me anything like this.
All right. Well, I hope that's the way it works out. But you did see Colby and Jorge, Kayla and Amanda. You know, sometimes things start off okay and then they go in other directions. So let's hope that doesn't happen with you guys.
Yeah, I try to keep the distance. You know, like friendship and the training. I have like a lot of friends here, but like if you're in my division, then it's different.
Yeah, I got you. I did notice that you had 23 amateur fights. You probably get asked this all the time, but this is our first time talking to you, so I wanted to hear it from you. Why so many? Like, I'm thinking at 10-0, I think I would say, okay, he's ready for the pros. Maybe 15-0. Now I'm very sure, but you got all the way to 23-0.
Yeah, and I went on a high stage, like IMF World Championships. It's you fight every day, basically. You make weight every day, championship weight you have to make every day. It wasn't easy, so I want to be like make a history for amateur game and stay undefeated and leave. Mm-hmm. So a lot of experience traveling different countries. I competed in Australia, competed in Bahrain, competed in Italy, so many places.
Yeah, so by the time you get in there in London, it'll be your 30th combat in MMA.
30th fight?
Yeah.
No, I actually, this will be my 32nd because I have like no contents fight. Oh, true. And one fight got removed, I'm not sure. So that's actually my 32nd. And also, these fights didn't count for amateur. It was like before I started my amateur camp. Career, I was competing like intercoups, out of intercoups. It was like you win or you lose, it's like a draw, you know. So I competed in that maybe like 20 fights there.
Now, what is intercoups? I'm not sure what that is. Is that like a fancy name for street fights, or is that a league?
No, it's basically you go to the all gyms meet at one gym together.
Smokers kind of.
Yeah, and there's like there's a referee, and you win, you lose, you get a draw, exhibition. Oh.
Okay. I thought maybe those were like fights outside of Old Trafford or something in case somebody got in your face about the game or anything like that.
No, we deal with stuff like this different, you know.
So Mohammed is a Manchester United fan. When's the last time you've been to a game?
November last year, before I set off for my camp, because I stayed for my debut camp for like 3-4 months in Bahrain, and then I came back and for my fight, and then I went to Dagestan. So I'm not been much games this year.
Did Ronaldo score that day?
He did. That's his. It was 700 goal.
Oh yeah. 800 probably, because I think wow, pretty historic, man, that he's returned to Manchester United after so many years away, and every time he scores, the stadium looks like it goes crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing atmosphere. I go there just for the, I love the atmosphere, you know. I love the like fans, don't matter like lose, win, you know, they support the team.
Do you sing the songs too? Do you know the songs?
Who is this?
The songs when they sing to the players.
Oh, yes. Like, anthem, right?
Mm-hmm. What's that? Yeah.
Like an anthem.
Crazy atmosphere. I want one of these for my fight.
Yeah. Well, they've done it before for a lot of the UK and European fighters.
When Ricky Hatton fight against Floyd Mayweather.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Well, let me turn it over to Goz. I'm sure he has a couple questions for you. Muhammad Rakaev, our guest here, he is going to be facing Charles Johnson at the UFC Fight Night coming up here on July 23rd in London. They're back in London. They had such a successful trip back to London after like 3 years, 4 years, that the UFC's already rebooked them at the top of the bill, Curtis Blaydes and Tom Aspinall. All right, Goz, what do you have for Muhammad Rakaev?
Muhammad, you talked about going to Old Trafford and you love the atmosphere and the feeling that it has. A lot of people say when they walk in, you can just feel this energy, not just from the moment, but from years of competition. Is there a place for mixed martial arts, an arena, a stadium that you've always wanted to fight in that you feel like maybe you would feel that same energy?
To be honest, O2 Arena in London, because I have a good history for UFC London. In 2016, as a kid, I competed in wrestling on that day. Rustam Khabilov fought against Norman Park. Main event was Michael Bisping against Anderson Silva. And I was competing in wrestling in the morning and afternoon. I set off to London, came to watch. My friend gave me a ticket, present for UFC London. I came there and watched my friend, Rustam Khabilov. He's really close to my career. He really guided me a lot through my career. Now we actually train together in Dagestan. And I told Rustam, I'm going to be here soon. And 6 years later, I took over the arena, you know.
Now, I know your dream is to become a world champion, but was that always your dream, even from when you were a younger kid? Or did you have other thoughts of what you might do when you get older? Did you have aspirations of becoming a footballer or anything else? Or has this always been your dream?
To be honest, like my dream become like later when I was like competing in amateurs, I was like, I believe in myself more and more and more. But it was first I started everything to feed my family. I didn't want to see my family see and think what I went through in my life. I didn't want to see my kids see this, you know. I want they understand the tough life, but not as much, because they have to know the childhood life too. So I really wanted something for the future family. You know?
You mentioned going to Dagestan, and right now you're at American Top Team. What is the major difference in the training between the two places? I mean, from what we hear, Dagestani fighters are just tough. It's very hard to explain it, but they're just very, very tough. For you, what's the biggest difference in the training?
I think in Dagestan, they train a little bit crazy, like 2-3 hours training, non-stop, a lot of like sparring rounds. They can do like wrestling and then put gloves on and then they go for sparring straight away. And then they can do like a sprint session, same in like one session, but here a little bit smarter. Not a little bit, way more smarter, I think, like. Because in America, that's where this sport come from, you know. It's like they went through this a lot, so they have like tactics, game plan, and plan for the training. You don't go to the gym without the plan.
This guy changed his shirt. Do you ever when you're thinking about this fight that's coming up? You know, right now there's a little bit of controversy with the judges and the way they award sometimes the wrong person the fight. Do you ever think about that? Is that something that makes you go for the finish even more? For the most part, do you have confidence in judging when you go into a fight?
I feel comfortable. You know, even if it's like bad decision, it doesn't. I don't take too much personal. Because if fans knows, if supporters knows you won the fight, doesn't matter like what's on your record. Record doesn't mean anything. You fight for your fans, you know, who actually who want to support you. They support you in bad times too. So it wouldn't even affect me.
Well, it's half your paycheck though, Muhammad. You know, you don't get the winner bonus that the UFC pays.
Oh, it's you still get like performance. I don't know. I wouldn't wouldn't think about this too much.
Yeah.
Like, if it's like bad decision, it means like it's a good fight, you know? It's a close fight. There's chance for rematch. So it's not like end of the story, you know? So
yeah.
There's advantages and disadvantages. Maybe for next fight, they put purse more and I come to the fight more hungry. No, there's things like it's a life. You have to adapt.
No, I'm glad that you don't obsess over it. That's good, because once you lose, there's really nothing you can do once the decision's made. But at the same time, I think the fighters should definitely learn that with a lot of the decisions as of late that are close, many would call them controversial, the judges aren't changing. It's the same names every weekend. It's the same referees, the same judges. And I believe they're good, but they, they're not going anywhere. And so I always tell people it's on the fighters. The fighters have to do enough to get the 10 and the other guy gets the 9. And that way you ensure yourself that at the end that they say, and the winner is the Punisher, Muhammad Makhachev, because it's like we were talking about soccer earlier. I don't know where your jersey is, by the way. Goes and I have our jerseys, but I'm just kidding. No, so anyway, we were talking about soccer earlier, and the team can lose, for example, during the week on Tuesday, right? But then 5 days later, 4 days later, they can win on the weekend, and everything's good again. MMA is tougher because if you lose, you might not fight for 3 months, 6 months. God forbid you have a serious injury, even more. And I can tell that it really, really, the fighters aren't the same until they're winning again. You know what I mean? So yeah, I guess that's the advice we can offer. Not that we're supposed to, I guess, because we're journalists and, MMA media and you're the fighter, but it's that Manchester United connection. That's why we're going a little bit off the script there a little bit. But I did want to say, I noticed you had some decisions in the amateur career, and then in the pros, man, you become not just the Punisher, you become the Finisher. You got the finishes, they're quick. You got to be feeling good about the way things have changed, because if you think about it, the pros are the tougher fights than the amateurs, and you're finishing the pros.
Because there's like no knees in the amateurs, no elbows. There's like 3 minutes. I used to like make them tired in 3 minutes, and then round was finishing. And now I make the guys tired like in 3 minutes, and then fifth minute, there's chance to finish them. And I work also with pro gloves, easier to submit than amateur gloves. So as soon as I took this amateur gloves off, it was easier for me. I think the gloves different.
No. That's a great explanation. I should have known better, because Goz and I have called amateur fights, and sure, I guess one of the things is for sure you have more time to work. And yeah, there were restrictions on elbows back when we did it. They didn't want to the cuts and stuff like that stop fight. So that makes sense. It's just
That's right. If you take someone's back and they're not afraid of the knees and elbows, they will defend more. But mm-hmm. if they're afraid of elbows and knees, the neck is open, So there's advantages a lot,
How long have you been in England?
10 years now.
Wow. I can already tell just talking to you that your career is definitely going to have a different trajectory than some of the other Dagestani fighters. Habib learned, English and used it conversationally. He used it a little bit in trash talk, but the fans, they connected with Khabib because of that. Only recently is Islam Makhachev speaking, but very little, But it makes a difference. So I'm glad you at least got that. We were able to communicate here, and you come off as a charming fella. We know you're a killer inside the octagon, but I think it's going to help you a lot, man.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Yeah.
Muhammad, so last question for me. I know that you want that your goal is to win the fight, but sometimes fighters have personal goals for each fight. Can you share with us? Do you have a personal goal in this fight? Is there one thing that you're looking to do?
No, something that the arena going to stand up again, same as last fight. So people remember the fight. I always do something that they remember. That's why they knew me since amateur days. Yeah.
All right. Something during the fight, a technique, you said? You have a technique that you think you're going to finish the fight with?
Something, maybe trash talk, maybe something. But make sure that people tune in and watch. I'll do something.
You want one more tip, Muhammad? Okay. When you go to the prep point and they do the Vaseline, they check the mouthpiece and your cup. You know what I'm talking about, right? Right on the outside of the octagon. And then you hug your teammates. You know, you do all that. Then you go up the stairs, right? Into the octagon.
Yeah.
Before you enter the octagon, turn around and do this to the crowd. I'm telling you, the crowd is going to cheer. And whoever is there for their first time is going to go, oh, man, I like that guy. I'm cheering for that guy. And not too many fighters do that. But Wanderlei Silva used to do that. Uriah Faber used to do that. And there's a couple others. But them two, watch them. If you ever get a chance, and you'll see, man, it's that little connection that can make a difference. Because I want you to stand out from the other 600 fighters in the UFC. You know what I mean? Otherwise, it's just like, thank you for the fight. See you in 6 months. Here's your check. Yes. And I want the fighters to, especially the young ones like you, man, to go out there and make a splash.
Thank you. Thank you. I did for my last, actually, for my debut, exactly the same, but I just put hands up, you know.
Hands up or whatever. Yeah, especially because the music is still going or whatever. You stand up, maybe even stomp your feet, turn around and just do this or this, yeah. Whatever you want, man. This, anything, but get the crowd like that. And I'm telling you, it'll really, really make a difference. And if you don't do it, we'll give you a hard time that you didn't do it next time we talk to you. But hopefully you do it. And hopefully next time you wear your Manchester United shirt, man. What's going on here? You didn't wear your shirt today.
I have in my room, actually.
All right, man. God bless. Thank you so much for the time today. And good luck with your camp and have a great fight in London.
Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Another Manchester United fan in MMA. There's a lot of them now, right, Ghost?
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Yeah. Hey, let me look it up real fast before we get out of here. Matt Hughes, when he fought Joe Riggs, it was a non-title fight because Riggs did not make weight. And yes, I believe you're right. He was stepping in for Carl Parisian. Riggs had fought at heavyweight before, but he also made it to 170. In fact, him and Nick Diaz had an epic fight two times that night, once in the hospital and once in the octagon. But yeah, poor Matt Hughes may have gotten robbed of two title defenses.
Yeah. By the way, you know who's not getting robbed of a title defense? Kamaru Usman. Because he ain't fighting Nick Diaz. Nick Diaz wants a title shot. Come on, man. What world do these guys live in?
And I realize that sometimes they just like to probably fuck with the media and fans or whatever. But with Nick, sometimes he seems like he's so out of touch that that actually sounds like one could believe that he believes it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's an insane situation for me. But, you know, this will never happen. But if for some reason it did, and you heard Dana White say, but he's a legend of the sport, man. Do you want to go up to Nick Diaz and tell him he doesn't deserve a title fight after everything he's been through? Like, it's so funny because sometimes things that we think are ridiculous, the UFC could just kind of spin in their direction. But they're not going to do that for Nick Diaz. That's just insanity.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Can you imagine what Bilal Muhammad would say at that point? Like, I'd throw up my hands and go, what am I doing here?
Tell me about it. Hey, real quick, I did want to say Rockhold and Costa. I've been looking forward to that fight. Costa keeps postponing, or according to Rockhold, he's saying Costa needs like another month. He's already kind of postponed it. They were supposed to fight July 2nd, UFC 276, International Fight Week. He said he needed more time, so they went to UFC 277, which would be July 30th. In Dallas, so there's two pay-per-views in July, and now he wants to push it back sometime. So that one was late July. This would be, I guess, a fight night in August. Rockhold's pretty pissed off, but further to that goes, I'm not hoping this happens, but Costa needs to watch out because great record, good looking cat, speaks English. Most of his fights don't suck. The one against Izzy sucked. The one against Romero was awesome. You know, he's had a few. Love the way he goes to the body. But I'm telling you, man, when you flake off or fuck off, however you want to look at it, a bit too much like that, and you turn down fights or you miss weight like he did, it all starts to add up. And all of a sudden, you can get handed your last check. I think they just look at you as someone who just, we can't count on you. You know what I mean? So like, this is a little bit of a warning, Paulo, from what we've seen in the sport, man. That I don't know. I don't think they want to lose him, but I don't think he makes it easy on anyone.
100%. I can totally, I see exactly what you're talking about in that.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the weight loss, weight cut that went bad, doesn't fight often. And then that title fight where he just shit the bed. I mean, forget the wine or whatever, man. In that title fight, you stunk it up. I mean, they remember all that stuff. So he needs to go out there and have a statement win against Luke Rockhold. Right now, I'm leaning towards Rockhold, to tell you the truth. He seems hungry. He hasn't fought in almost 4 years, I believe. Or three, yeah. No. He hasn't won in, well, I forget. But I know it's, you know, it's been a couple years. It's been like 4 years since he won. And it's been 2 years since he competed, something like that. Anyway, all right, that's our show for today, folks. Thank you so much, as always, for having our back and supporting the show. I can be followed on Twitter and Instagram at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at The Goes. That's THEGOZE. The radio show at MMA Junkie Radio. Again, both on Twitter and Instagram. And I guess we'll see you next Monday. No UFC this weekend. There is some Cage Warriors, but you can still keep it locked on MMA Junkie, as we're always there to cover the latest news. One last thing, check out YouTube. We got a lot of stuff there, including the weekly spinning backlick, youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. All right, this time we really are out of here. Enjoy the long weekend, and we'll talk to you. We'll still be here to do our show on Monday. All right, go out there and be a champion.